are back with Teacher Talk, sponsored by the Columbus Education Association, who is solely responsible for the views expressed. I'm Sue Miziak, your host. Recently, new CEA officers Tracy Johnson and Phil Hayes appeared on this program to discuss some of the big issues currently facing us. Tonight, we are fortunate that Superintendent Dr. Dan Good is joining me to give his viewpoints on big issues like school closings, the third grade reading guarantee, and the district's future finances. Welcome back to Teacher Talk, Dr. Good.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's wonderful to have you on the program once again. Three times in 1 year, that's got to be a record, but you have certainly been a wonderful, wonderful guest. I've enjoyed speaking with you.
Thank you very much.
Well, Dr. Good, when the school year ends, we often like to look back on what our district and our students have accomplished, what's been going on in terms of the positives. And once again, Columbus City School students have earned some very prestigious scholarships. And our students, so many of them, really, really need these. And many of them really, really earn them when it comes to merit as well. So what does this mean for students in a district like ours?
I would say all of the students that have been awarded scholarships have certainly earned those scholarships. And it's very important in this community because many of our families, the cost of studying beyond high school presents a significant challenge. When I've met with families this year, they've confirmed that there just isn't money to support studies beyond high school, that employment is oftentimes the preferred option. So those scholarships, they eliminate that barrier. And our community really can be very, very proud that so many of our Columbus City School students are awarded scholarships based upon their academic, their extracurricular, and even their service to community efforts.
That's right. And it seems like every year the total amount of scholarship value goes up. I think it's also wonderful that a lot of the local businesses and the local concerns are very instrumental in awarding scholarships to students in the Columbus City Schools. I think it says a lot, as you already referred to that, they're really in support of these kids.
They are indeed, and we're very fortunate to have partners that invest in these students so that they'll stay in Columbus when they graduate from their post-secondary studies and contribute to the workforce.
You know, I'm in touch with a lot of my former students who went to West High School, you know, good old Facebook, and it is just amazing to me and wonderful to me to learn how many of them are nurses, are in business. Many of them are teachers, some of them in this district. Others have gone into careers in banking. It's really fascinating to see what they have done and what they can get out of Columbus City Schools, and then with the help of the scholarship programs that are available, that they can go on and continue their education and become really productive citizens. So we're always happy to hear that around this time of year.
Indeed.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, there are some students who have to repeat classes. And in fact, I can think of a student I had many years ago, and he every summer had to go to summer school to repeat English. And this kid was smart. He was, but he just didn't feel like turning in assignments. And after he completed summer school, after his junior year, he came back the beginning of his senior year, and he looked at me and he said, "I just realized this is really stupid what I'm doing every year, that I really need to buckle down and do what I need to do during the school year, and then I won't have to go to summer school and I'll be able to graduate on time." And I said, "Well, good for you, you know." But there are also those students who are ambitious and they want to take advanced courses. And the Columbus City Schools offers summer school for both of those types of students, those who have to repeat and those who want to take advanced courses. And today, the day that our program is airing, today, June 3rd, was the first day for summer school registration. So let's talk about those. Let's talk first about the traditional summer school programs. And then let's talk about the VCAP programs.
Certainly. And you are correct. Today is the first day of registration for our high school students that would like to take courses in the summer program. And really, the district's goal has always been to provide whatever is relevant to each child at this particular point in their educational career. I'm pleased that we do have some acceleration opportunities. And this allows students to make space in their course schedule during the regular academic year for other courses of interest, internships, college credit options. And then, of course, as you indicated, there are students that have enrolled to have more knowledge and skill reinforcement to really become masterful at the content that really presented some challenges for them during the previous year. So we're pleased to be able to offer really customized experiences for both students.
Mm-hmm. And the summer school is offered in a variety of different areas around the district. And am I correct in saying that the downtown high school is one of those areas?
It is one of the areas. That's correct. In fact, we look at all quadrants of the district to ensure that there are elementary, middle, and high school opportunities for students. We provide transportation. We provide breakfast and lunch for those students. And again, there are opportunities to earn credit, to get ahead, or just to remediate and catch up.
Mm-hmm. And that's really good. Now, what about the VCAP program? What can you tell me about this, Dr. Good?
Well, it's primarily a program that students sit in front of a computer terminal and guide their own instruction, work at their own pace. But there is a licensed teacher in that content area. So if the student is pursuing a mathematics credit, the teacher in that VCAP course is a math certified teacher. So they provide really what we consider a blended opportunity, mm-hmm. both that independently guided instruction, but also the support of an adult in the room.
Is this done at the regular summer school locations, of the traditional summer school locations?
It's available at all of our high school summer locations.
Right.
That's correct.
Right. Okay. Well, that's great. And we certainly are doing everything we can then to help these students to either advance or accelerate, as you mentioned, or in some cases, it's kind of a remedial situation, yes. and they're trying to get their credits for those courses.
Indeed.
Okay. Well, now, looking at the present, I know it has to be difficult to face the closings of five district schools. I know originally seven were named, and then it came down to five.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also going to be a significant reassignment of teachers. So, it seems like the community in general seems to feel that this was a fiscally responsible decision that was made. Can you talk a little bit about these schools, Dr. Good, the schools that are closing, that will not be open next year, and how are the families of the children who attend these schools, how are they reacting to all this? Because I know some people, you know, maybe already saw the writing on the walls. Some people are unhappy. So let's talk about the schools.
I appreciate the opportunity to talk about those schools. You are correct. There were seven originally. Mm-hmm. Through a number of engagements with the community, we were able to put in place some plans to add vigor back to the two of those schools, and those were removed then from the list. But the ones that are closed are Arlington Park Elementary, Fifth Avenue International Elementary, Mayberry Elementary, Monroe Middle, and Brookhaven High Schools. And as you indicated, doing this helps us achieve a balanced budget, and it takes us closer to maximizing the utilization of all of our education sites. And we've been very, very sensitive to the transition process, and so we've engaged the students and the staff and the parents in planning for those delicate moves. We've had meet and greet meetings at all of the sites, and student leaders from the schools that are closing, are actually working with student leaders from the receiving schools to plan activities to begin that integration mm-hmm. of the student and staff personnel. The parents have been very supportive and very engaged as well. It's not just the schools that we're closing, though. We're also repurposing some sites like our Northgate Professional Development Center and the Neal Avenue Special Education Center. And in both of those cases, the faculty and staff have been deployed mm-hmm. to the schools to provide closer proximity to the students and the staff that they serve. And so we're always evaluating all of our sites, both school and non-school sites, to see if there are more efficiencies to be realized for our community.
Mm. Well, now, I'd like to ask you a little bit about the Fifth Avenue International School. That was a very unique school. I actually had them on Teacher Talk one time, and we talked about the program there. Now, does that program continue in a different place, or is that program just going to go away, or what's the deal on that, if you don't mind answering that?
The program does continue in a different place. Fifth Avenue International was actually housed in a building that was the original North High School for the district.
Oh, right.
But
Acadia.
It was a site much too large for the population that had rolled kindergarten through fifth grade. And so we are moving them just a couple of streets over to Hubbard Elementary.
Uh-huh.
And we're adding a mastery progression curricula or pedagogical approach to that site so students can progress at their own pace.
Mm.
No longer will they necessarily be grouped by age or by grade level, but by content that they're ready to learn and master. And so it has some of the best elements of that former international school, the Asia Society curricula, which the international school employed, and that mastery progression. In fact, many of our parents of children identified as gifted learners have expressed an interest in this program because it really does accommodate those students based upon the content they're ready for.
Hmm, interesting. So if a student is really exceptional, let's say in mathematics, they don't have to stay in the third grade or fifth grade or whatever. They can progress to a higher grade level despite whatever their age is.
That's correct.
Is that correct? Okay. Well, now, okay, this is teacher talk. What do the displaced teachers do? We want to talk about those teachers. You know, where are they going? Do they have to reapply for new jobs? I mean, what is the situation on that? Because I'm sure there has to be anxiety on the parts of those people, some of whom may have been in the district for quite a long time.
That's right. And I'm pleased that in Columbus there is a legacy of being able to employ teachers in their area of interest and training, even though we are always reducing teachers based upon enrollment projections. And there is a process defined by the bargained agreement for how that occurs. But I'm confident that teachers that have the fire in their belly and the training necessary are in the right seats on the bus to provide high quality instruction to our children. And that's certainly everyone's goal.
So do they have to look at postings and see what positions are available? Can they apply to teach at the schools where their former students are going? Do they go to the job fair? Do they do all of the above?
They do all of the above.
Okay.
Because in some cases, the schools were closed. And so then the staff would actually go back into that, what they call the 211 process, and
right.
they would bid on vacancies across the district. Where buildings are combined, then that it's based upon seniority. So the most senior person in the discipline retains the rights to that job, and the less senior across those two buildings would then go into the job pool. So it's a number of different avenues. But ultimately, I'm always pleased that teachers are where they're meant to be and provide quality instruction for our children.
And that's what we want, of course. Well, now, Dr. Good, the Ohio Achievement Assessment, or OAA, are annual tests that measure how well students have learned the reading and math concepts that are being taught in grades 3 through 8. And those tests were administered in May to our students. So naturally, we don't have the results yet, but it was projected that as many as 50% of our third graders would not pass the reading. And I know across the state, I mean, we're looking at numbers that no one's going to be very happy with these, I'm sure, because it is a new set of standards, more rigorous, and therefore not as many people will do as well. So let's talk a little bit about what happens to these students, the students who don't do well as a result of the state's third grade reading guarantee. It's in the news all the time. I know people are worried. Some people go, well, wait a minute, are we going to have all these kids held back in third grade because they didn't pass the reading? Or, you know, what are we doing? So what are the Columbus City Schools doing for these students? And I know I'm talking too much, but I also know that we're working on the other end, and we'll talk about that in a minute in terms of getting students better prepared for this. But what about the kids who just took the test?
That's right. And we know that in the fall, you're correct, about half of our third graders did not demonstrate that they had achieved the proficient reader mark on the third grade assessment.
Right.
But again, that was at the beginning of their third grade year.
Right.
And as you indicated, during that first week in May, they took the second administration of that achievement assessment. And we will get the results in just a couple of weeks. So in mid-June, we will have those results and we'll know which students really need to take advantage of the summer opportunities to hone their literacy skills and which will be able to move on to the fourth grade. Currently, the law says that if the student has not achieved that particular score, then they must be retained in third grade. They can receive instruction in all other disciplines at the fourth grade level, but there's a little fuzziness to that because the licensure system in Ohio stops at grade 3 and then
right.
the next license takes off at grade 4. So if the student is in the computer system as a third grader, a teacher that's only licensed to teach fourth grade and above, wouldn't be able to be the teacher of record for that student. So the Ohio Department of Education is actually working closely with districts across the state to either create waivers or create alternative licensure credentials so that those fourth grade teachers can provide fourth grade instruction to those students that are retained for third grade reading
mm-hmm.
because they didn't necessarily not meet the mathematic proficient score and they may be on grade in science and social studies. And so they shouldn't be penalized in those areas.
That's for sure. Well, it seems to me that that should have been a consideration from the very beginning then. What do we do about this break? Because although there are teachers who certainly are licensed in grades K through 3 and 4 through 5. But even so, that really, really is kind of a problem there. So when do we find out about this whole waiver situation and what's going to be done? Because it's only a couple months away. The kids are coming back in mid-August or toward the end of August. And where are they going to be? What grade is that child going to be in?
It is only a couple of months away. You're correct. They will be classified the way the law currently is written as a third grade student.
Mm-hmm.
And in many cases, we will have teachers that still bear the old K-8 or
mm-hmm.
first through eighth grade credential, and they would be permitted to be teachers of record. So
mm-hmm.
we would need to be very intentional in how we organize students and assign them to which teachers so that a teacher of record was actually licensed at the content level
right.
the student's receiving instruction in. So it's a bit of a challenge, but like so many things in education, we seem to be building the ship while we're sailing it. And not all of the unintended implications are thought through when
right.
legislation is passed. But I think we've become, after doing this for 3 decades, pretty adept at understanding how to spin on demand and make certain we do what's best for children.
And what about then the remedial help that those students will need, those students who did not did not achieve the score that they needed to. What kinds of things are we providing for those students who are in this little kind of no man's land in a way, unfortunately?
They are. We have very intensive reading programs being offered this summer. One such program that begins next week is at Clinton Elementary School. And their focus is solely on preparing students for success on that third grade reading
mm-hmm.
test that'll then be administered on the beginning of July. And that's an all-day program. It runs from early morning until late afternoon. And again, the focus is solely on preparing the students with their literacy skills. However, all of the other summer schools, elementary summer schools, offer that reading support, but it tends to be a course versus an entire focus of the program.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then do students have the option of whether they attend these or not during the summer?
They do have the option.
Yes.
It's really, and I wouldn't say the students have the option. I think the
parents
have the
option.
Yeah,
you're right.
but we have sent letters to all of the parents of students we anticipated would not be prepared to be successful on that during the May administration of the proficiency test or the achievement assessment, and indicated to them they would be well served by having their children participate in the summer program.
So if they don't and they return to school in August to regular school, then what kinds of things are we going to have? Some pull-out programs, or what are we going to have to help these children who are going, because there's always going to be
yes.
some kids who will not go during the summer. Hopefully they will, but there'll be a few who won't.
Well, it's when we begin to tailor instruction to the individual child's need, and all
mm-hmm.
of those children will have what's called a reading and intervention monitoring plan. So it's almost like an individual education plan for each student
mm-hmm.
based upon what were the barriers to their achieving that benchmark score
mm-hmm.
to move on to the next grade level. For some, it'll be a decoding issue or a phonetic issue. For others, it'll be a whole language or a comprehension issue. For others, maybe fluency. For others, vocabulary. So we tailor the intervention based upon the need of the child.
Mm. Okay, well, that sounds like something that would be very effective. And then finally, on this topic, and can we just mention this briefly, because I'm sure that we're going to have lots of programs on Teacher Talk about this topic. What measures are we taking to improve this percentage before the kids ever hit the third grade and take that test? What is Columbus City Schools doing?
We have been working diligently last year and this next year in getting many of our primary teachers certified with their reading credential and providing them a number of different interventions we know that work.
Great.
And there are very specific methodologies to address each of those miscues that I named earlier.
Right. Okay, good. Well, the first time we met on this program, Dr. Good, was last fall, and we talked about the upcoming levy, which was unfortunately defeated. But the funds generated would have been really helpful in helping some of the reforms, such as the amount of funding, actually, we have to put into something like the third grade reading guarantee. So how are we managing without these funds? And do we have any thoughts about a future levy?
Well, it's still premature to talk about a levy. That would have to be a board-initiated discussion. Mm-hmm. And I anticipate they'll be thinking about that this summer and probably having substantive conversations in the fall. But really, through the efforts of our faculty and staff to be more frugal with resources and a combination of reductions in expenditures and a little bit greater than projected revenue collection, mm-hmm. we've been able to propose to the board a balanced budget for next year.
Wonderful.
But there certainly are programs and services that are casualties of those reductions. Mm-hmm. But it's the right thing to do to demonstrate to the community that we can be counted on to wisely utilize their resources that they've made us stewards of. And I believe we're doing that.
Right, right. And that is important, that we are fiscally responsible to the community. Well, now, the issues that we're looking at for the 2014-2015 school year, which ones do you think will be most prominent?
I think they'll be the ones that we focused on last year, certainly reading proficiency.
Right.
And we'll expand that to numeracy or mathematics. We know that high-quality preschool results in students being better prepared for kindergarten and has a strong positive correlation to third grade reading proficiency.
That's for sure.
So high quality preschool access, college and career pathways for our intermediate and secondary students will be expanding, and always the development of leadership, because we know that high quality leaders are what our teachers deserve and certainly benefit the students as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about you? Are you going to be working this summer on these? Are you going to conferences, or are you going to kick back around the pool and just relax and enjoy life, which I know no superintendents ever do that. But anyway, I thought I'd throw that out there.
I think fewer and fewer educators actually have any downtime in
That's
their lives,
right.
But it is a calling, and we have administrative retreats that will occur right here in Columbus City Schools. I have no plans to attend any conferences at this point.
Okay. Well, I'm sure that this is going to be an incredibly busy summer anyway, and as you've already mentioned, you've completed your first year now, or right about this time.
Just about.
I'm sure it's been an exciting year. Well, let's talk about somebody who's going to have a very exciting year next year. And we only have a minute or so to talk about this. And that is former president of the CEA, Rhonda Johnson, is going to be Mayor Coleman's education director and sit on his council. So what do you think about that particular position? Let's not talk about Rhonda. Let's talk about that position. Do you think a lot of cities are starting to do this now, include some type of education person on the city council?
I really can't divorce the position from the person. I think Rhonda Johnson is what will make that successful. She has been an advisor to me this year, always without compromising her representation and leadership to the Columbus Education Association. We've worked together on the expansion of preschool programs. We'll continue to work together on that and those additional career and college pathway programs. Those are two priorities of that office. And really, the goals of the Columbus Education Commission, which was the mayor's initiative, and the goals of the district are the same. So it's a joy to have Rhonda continuing in leadership in that office, and it's a joy to have all the partners aligned in that same resolve.
And she'll still be working with you.
Indeed.
Okay, very quickly, we just have a few seconds left, Dr. Good, but do you have any words of advice to our recent high school graduates who are going on to college and maybe even are thinking about becoming public school teachers?
Indeed. They need to spend more than just just a day with a teacher, to be certain to learn all that takes place outside the classroom that is the teacher's responsibility. As I said before, it truly is a calling, and our profession only seeks those people that have that fire in their bellies for all that encompasses this career choice. I've never once second-guessed my selection to become a teacher, and in every post I've held, every opportunity I've had, it's been a privilege, really, to both teach but also to learn. And recognizing that we've as much to gain as to give is going to render those pre-service teachers the right disposition toward this job.
Well, you know, those are very eloquent words, and I think that you speak for a lot of us. I know you speak for me when you talk about the calling of being an educator. It certainly is a privilege to serve the children and their families, and especially here in the Columbus City Schools. Well, Dr. Good, that's it. That's our program, and I want to thank you very much for being on Teacher Talk this evening.
It's been an honor. Thank you so much, Sue.
This concludes our show. A podcast of this program will soon be available at wcbe.org. Please join me on Teacher Talk the first and third Tuesdays of each month. This is Sue Miziak wishing you a good night.